Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen had to step out to go water some fire hydrants. But they're back now on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, it's always interesting to have talked with Dr. Colmery because, again, sometimes the most important step in caring for animals is in prevention instead of in response to what goes on. And that's something I know you guys have practiced for many, many years over at Bruce Pets.
Especially right now, another avenue of prevention is, prevention of loss of life when it comes to some of the more exotic animals. Probably whatever we would do for you or I, we'll probably do for our dog or cat. So if we're going to go someplace, we'll probably take our dog or cat with us. Some animals, the Norwegian Elkhound, he's far less concerning than others. But irregardless, any of the furry animals, not quite as much of an issue. But what do you do when you have a fish tank? You know, and power goes out. What are the steps that you can take? So I thought we could take a few minutes out, and we can always, if we cover that well enough, let's talk about small animals. Let's talk about, birds or whatever you want to talk about, Lee. But
if you think about it, there's a lot of people in the state of Texas this week who've gotten a lot of attention because It has been 3, 4, 5 days for a lot of people without power.
And with a fish tank, that just means a lot of dead fish.
And what do people do to prevent it? Because it was funny. I saw so many people who are, I wish I had a generator. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And all I can think about is the time for wishing is not while the emergency is happening. It's in advance.
Yeah, I think the two things that we'll just talk specifically about a fish tank that you have to worry about. The first thing is before the cold, and that's the oxygen, because that's the first thing that you have to worry about might very well eliminate itself from the environment, because all that circulation that goes on is what carries oxygen. Now, not all tanks are that way. If it's a lightly populated tank and the power goes out and you don't have circulation, there might be enough held oxygen in that tank. The next major issue is temperature as well. So there's two responses that you want to consider if you have a fish tank. And some of it's all about preparation. One, if you don't have a generator, and certainly that's the first thing you want to consider, you want to have a battery-operated air pump that either is constantly on the tank but off. We actually have some that you plug in, but because they're designed that if any electricity is at its forks, if you will, in the wall, it doesn't turn on. And as soon as the power goes off, it detects that, and then it turns the air pump on, and then you have oxygenation when the power goes out. Or you hope that you're home at the time this happens,
right?
And then you just, get it out from the closet, a battery-operated air pump, and get it running on the tank. So that's one of the two things. Now, temperature is another issue. And again, if you don't have a generator, that being the best, because if you have a generator big enough to somehow provide heat within the house or at least within the room that you're dealing with, that helps a lot. But let's say you don't, and you're assuming the power is going to be off for less than 12 to 24 hours, and you want to at least prevent your fish from dying from cold if you can help it. The first thing I would say that's inexpensive, that's practical and possible that you can prepare for is simply know that if the temperature changes on fish is gradual, if it changes slowly, you're far more likely to see the fish survive even if it gets into the 60s than if it's a fast drop. So what I always recommend people do is to go out and get at least half inch, if not 1 inch styrofoam, maybe a 4x8 sheet if necessary, and you cut that up into panels, pre-cut and sized, so you form a box over the tank. Now they're just the side panels and the top panel, and you're just going to pop it over there kind of like they would on Let's Make a Deal, Let's Throw It Over,
right? Almost like you're making a cooler.
Like you're making a cooler upside down,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting it together with the roll of duct tape that you have sitting there prepared and ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are really the two items that you need to keep your tank from dropping in temperature. First of all, if you get your power back on within a few hours, that will be enough to prevent any major shift in temperature, and that's going to help a lot. And then if it happens to drop down much, much more substantial because your power's out longer, at least you've got a little bit of extra chance that these guys are going to survive from that.
Now, when you've got a situation where, like I said, in Texas, it's been going on for half a week or more, in that condition, how does the feeding of fish change? Should you be slowing down that process to let their metabolism slow down a little bit, or do you just keep feeding them as you always did?
Well, the thing I want to think about is, well, first, step one, don't feed your fish at least for 24 hours when this is happening, because you don't have any filtration going on and things aren't acting normal.
Right.
But the other thing to think about is something has to be done so it's not days if it's cold weather. You know, if this is happening, you know, in a summer day, you know, it's probably not as critical. But if it's happening in the middle of the winter and the reason the power went out is because it's extremely cold, you know, where it happens to be a very cold time, then I would say you really need to get a generator on that tank. So if you, you know, call friends 25 miles away, 100 miles away, you know, do what you can. Go out and buy a generator if you can afford it. But realistically, when it's for the long haul and you're going to have a fish tank, there's no better investment than having a generator. It doesn't take much of a generator to run your fish tank. And as long as you're doing that, you might as well run your refrigerator as well.
Right.
You know, I would say working once you're just trying to rough it out and let and seeing if they survive the cold. If it's getting into the 50s, and they're most of which people have are tropical fish, they're probably not going to survive. The exception to that would be a couple tropical fish. It's not a tropical, but thought of as a tropical fish. A white cloud minnow is one that can handle cool temperatures. It's about the only one I can think of on inventory that's going to go into the 50s and survive. And then goldfish, koi, things like that. So if those are the ones you're sporting, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about them. Just get the oxygen on them, and they'll be just fine.
Right.
Well,
in the meantime, the other issue that I would imagine people are dealing with is keeping warm those small animals and especially those reptiles, because they are so temperature oriented. What do you suggest people do for that? Because they're used to having those, I don't want to call them heat lamps, but they essentially serve that function.
For sure. And remember, you're not having a tank filled with water. Like, you know, a 30-gallon tank weighs, you know, maybe 200 pounds, and moving those fish to somewhere else that has heat isn't really an option.
Right.
But when it comes to the small animals, first, putting blanket over their environment, if that will allow it, or the foam idea that I just told you about, that can still help. It can still insulate whatever's in there. You know, just make sure if you have a heat lamp or something that you take that off of there so you don't burn anything up when the power comes back on. And then you can always take things like if your hot water is still working, because oftentimes we have a full hot water heater.
Right.
Maybe while the getting's good, you can at least pull, if you have some 2-liter bottles, you can fill them up with warm water. If you have a way of heating up water, you can put hot water into those, and then you can put those in the tank. And then with insulation around the outside and those on the inside, you can be generating some heat so that the reptile stays relatively warm.
Okay.
Being cold-blooded, you know, they can come down in temperature a little bit, and it's probably not going to hurt them. It might be a little rough on them. It might stress them out. You might look for infections or respiratory infection afterwards. But as a general rule, some of these reptiles, many of the reptiles, at least have cold nights that they have to deal with in the wild. So they can handle oftentimes down into the 60s, and some species of reptiles certainly down into the 50s. So you might, depending on the specific reptile you have, talk to our reptile staff and just see what those tolerances are for that particular animal.
Well, the good news is we generally don't have too many situations like it, but when they happen, again, the time to be prepared is now, not later. So hopefully people will learn from today's show. In the meantime, though, we are out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Grant LaFave, and Rick Pruse, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of your pets, stay safe, and keep warm, everybody. See ya.
Hey, got some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets@1320wils.com, or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs.